Kevin Stefanski as the fall guy for the Browns' lack of success. A loaded next couple hours here on 92.3 The Fan, but I thought it was really interesting how one of the things to come up today was Myles Garrett's future, and specifically how Myles factors into the coaching situation. Mary Kay Cabot was on with Jeff and Andy in middays today and talked about Jeff Schwartz. Jeff Schwartz?
Jim Schwartz? Jim. Were you doing like a Jeff Shadell thing? I don't know what happened there.
I think a stroke is what I was doing. Jim Schwartz being interviewed for the Browns job and the player support that he has.
I'm pretty sure it seems like they're going to give Jim Schwartz an interview and a really great opportunity to get this job. We know that the defensive players would love for that to happen. And I guess it's just a matter of, do you go that route or do you go with more of an offensive coach or more of a head coach type of person and then try to still keep Jim around as defensive coordinator? But we know how they feel about Jim. Some other guys in the locker room, they love their defensive coordinator, and he is truly a leader of men and all of those kinds of things. It's just a matter if the Browns want him in that role or if they feel that he would be best served here remaining as their defensive coordinator.
I think it's going to be really fascinating, and I think one of the players Mary Kay was talking about is clearly Myles Garrett. We heard Myles go to bat for Jim Schwartz in a way at the end of the season that he didn't go to bat for Kevin Stefanski in a way he never went to bat for Joe Woods, and I think that does put you in a little bit of a quandary if you're the Browns.
Oh, so in that interview, and I don't know why it wasn't in the clip, but in that interview, she says Myles specifically and Denzel Ward both put a big endorsement on Jim Schwartz. Mm-hmm. And it's like, all right, well, that's our two best players on defense. Like, that's not even a question mark. And so if your two best players are out here advocating, and they're going to always advocate for the guy that they like a ton and the guy they've already worked with and the guy they've had, by the way, a lot of success with. This is how it's how life works, okay? It's not a shock or surprise, but the Browns' response to this, I think, will be interesting and telling.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think part of the figuring out, all right, where are we going to interview you is just, because I think you have to have the conversation. Hey, Jim, what happens if you don't get the head coaching job? Would you consider staying if you don't get the head coaching job?
Yeah.
And I think that's a really tricky situation. Now, again, a good organization that communicates thoroughly. I think if we talk about one thing Andrew does, I think he's good at communication internally. I think he, at the very least, I should be able to trust him to do it. But it's just so weird. Like, I don't think we should consider Jim a front runner. But I do wonder if Myles, he doesn't just publicly said a lot of nice things about Jim, if Myles goes to Andrew Berry and says, hey, this should be the new head coach, I really wonder if you're the Browns, how do you respond? Because it's not just, well, now do we risk losing Jim if we don't hire him? It's also, all right, what does that mean for Myles or some of the other veterans? When you're already watching other veterans leave this team this offseason, like Wyatt Teller, probably Joel Bitonio, Conklin, some of the other, and Joku.
We talked about Flores, for instance. If Flores comes in here and he changes up the defensive front, it puts Myles in a spot that he's not going to necessarily thrive in the way that he did, you know, this last year, breaking the sack record. I think that's a fair assessment. And then let's say Flores wins 5 games out of the gate like he did in Miami, his first year with the Dolphins, like, that leaves you in a pretty bad spot. Like, if you're the defense, then you wonder why did we get rid of this? What happened? Yeah. Why did we go wrong here? This was a roll of the dice we didn't have to take. The guy was right in the building. We didn't have to do this. But it's so hard because you can't just bend to what the players want and the players need. You have to think independently of that.
I also think it's really tough to evaluate Jim. One, because it's been a decade since he was a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Two, because he had Matt Stafford and I believe went to the playoffs once. And they,
Stafford. He had Stafford. He had Calvin Johnson. He had Ndamukong Suh. There was a lot of players on that Lions team.
So it's tough because I think you can look at what he did in Detroit and say, well, he did better than the previous decade of Detroit coaches, and that is a feather in his cap. You can also look and go, well, they also turn around with Jim Caldwell and we're back in the playoffs. I think they went to playoffs twice with Jim Caldwell in 4 years out, and then they fired him, obviously. So I don't know. I don't know that there's a right answer on Jim. I can only tell you how I feel, which is I do want Jim back as the defensive coordinator. I think he certainly earned the right to interview for the job. And I do think that Myles, there's just no way to me that, and it's not about Myles, it's about, I don't think a player should ever name a head coach for you. I don't.
Right.
That's not the player's forte. The player's going to have inside knowledge on Jim Schwartz. The player's going to have a love of a coach. That's great. And you should give some credence to that. But I think the people who are like, well, Miles wants it. No, that's not how this is going to work. It should matter, but it can't matter that much.
You just can't run. You can't run a pro team that way. And like Miles, I get everyone wanting to have him have a say in this, but you can't bend to everything that he wants and then some, because then all you're going to do, where does it end?
Yeah.
Like, where does it end? Miles is then he's going to want to pick the quarterback. He's going to want to pick the head coach. As soon as he's going to want to pick, if you're Andrew Berry, he's going to want to replace you with somebody else. Like if you give him an inch, he's going to take a mile. Like at some point you do have to draw a hard line.
Also, even though I don't think we're there with Miles yet, this is a decision that should factor into the next 5 years, right? I don't know. Miles is going to be here for the next 5 years,
right? You got to think beyond these guys.
He's 30 years old, you know, like I think the age of Miles and where he is also matters. But listen, I think Andrew Berry thinks the world of Jim Schwartz. I think that gives him a good chance to at least make a case for this job. I really struggle with do you bump Jim up? I am in agreement with everyone that if you're gonna bump anybody up, it's Jim. And then I'm going to need to hear Jim's OC. I'm going to need to hear who Jim's defensive coordinator is.
The problem with bumping Jim up, too, is you are taking away the thing that actually does make him special with this.
Yeah.
We see this all the time with offensive coordinators. They get the head coaching job, and they're not calling plays anymore. They're not designing, and they're doing so many other facets of the job that it just takes away what they can actually do, and it just becomes a really hard tug and pull. So there is a chance you hire Jim Schwartz as the head coach, and you lose defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz while in the process not really gaining anything as far as a head coach either.
Now, if we're talking about it, I'll go back on. I think Jim is a leader and Jim is a communicator. When we talk about leader of men,
mm-hmm.
which is often stated, misunderstood, I think leader of men, to me, is can you deliver hard truth to players and get through to them? And can you communicate? Like, across the board, can you communicate? I do think Jim has those two things. It just comes down to, can he do all the other 75 things you have to do to be a head coach?
Yeah. I mean, and there's a lot of qualities that he has that I think people like, too. Like, even when they were trying to give him the game ball a few weeks back during the season, and he was too busy because he was doing, like, 300-pound bench press or something, and it's gone in a way. Like, little
That's
things
how I
like
spend
that.
Post-game for the Browns.
That's what he does, like, post-game. He was just doing, like, bench press or something. He was doing some weights, and it was like, we can't find Jim. Where is he? Oh, he's doing bench press right now. Like, it's little things like that that, like, yeah. He's a football guy's football guy. Like, there's no mistaking that when it comes to Jim Schwartz.
I do think it's interesting beyond Schwartz, Miles' role in this. Like, do you go down the list? Like, Miles, Chris Shula, yay or nay, right? Or like, is my like?
Does he go on the camera and also say, "Oh, we got a plan"?
Is
just like he did with the quarterbacks? Now we got a plan.
For $40 million, he'll do just about anything.
We got a plan. Hey guys, something's gonna happen.
I also think it's interesting. All right, you're asking for Miles' opinion on all candidates, potentially. Well, how can he have them if he's not in the room? Right?
What do you mean?
Well, okay, you're going to Miles and saying, all right, hey, we're really these are our three final candidates.
What do you mean if he's not like in the interview room, like seeing what their answers are, seeing everything like that? I think it's more what you do is you ask him honestly, what do you think about Jim Schwartz? And then if he says something negative about it, then all of a sudden it's like, okay, maybe we didn't see some of this thing through. Like, that's got to be the extent that Miles actually has in this whole thing.
Yeah.
Because you can't have him in interviews. You can't have him doing the gladiator thumbs up, thumbs down for coaches he likes and doesn't like.
It would be really funny if you did that.
It would be really funny. Yeah. But like, you can't do these things. Again, like I love Miles, but he's not, we can't give him everything under the sun here. It's not how this is going to work. And it's not how it's worked the entire time.
216-474-0092. Should Miles have a say in the new head coach hire? And what does that look like? I have no problem with Miles going to bat for Jim Schwartz. Internally, no problem. I don't think that's the thing that overrides everything else. I think it certainly is a feather in the cap of Jim Schwartz's candidacy. It can't be the biggest reason you hire him, but I do think it's got to mean something. I just think it gets really tricky with the other candidates. How do you inform Miles about what you like about them? How does he know, or what does he know of these candidates, and how does he source that information? I think this is kind of a tricky situation. I think you can manage it. It's not the end of the world, but it's something that if you're careless or If you maybe
make him feel involved while also understanding that you don't have to then do exactly everything that he wants and then some. Make him feel involved.
It's like when I tell my kids, what do you guys want for dinner? Where are we going for dinner?
Good. Yeah, exactly right.
And then they're like, Chuck E. Cheese. And I'm like, well, we're clearly not doing that. But the difference is when I say, you can't say to Miles, well, we're clearly not doing that.
Now here's where I become a little bit of a hypocrite, or at least I want you to tell me if I am or ain't. I think there's a thing as quarterback privilege. If Patrick Mahomes comes to me and says,
like, white privilege?
Yeah, it's quarterback privilege in the NFL. If Josh Allen, when the Bills fire McDermott, comes to me and is like, listen, I want a seat at the table. I want a part of this. You know what, Josh Allen, you get a part of this. Patrick Mahomes, you get a part of this as well. I'll give carte blanche to if you are a top four quarterback in the sport. And I might even draw the line at Joe Burrow, okay? I might draw the line at Joe Burrow. But if you're Allen, if you're Mahomes, I'm not doing it. And so Miles, I'm sure, looks at this and is like, well, I'm the best defender on planet Earth. I'm the best at my job and my position on my side of the ball. Where's my Myles Garrett privilege? And I just say it's not the same thing. Like, I'm sorry, you just play a sport where it's not equal.
But how do you let those guys in? Do you let them out? Like, okay.
If Myles Garrett wants a seat at the table, or sorry, if Patrick Mahomes wants in on the interview process, I'd allow it.
No, I let him. I make him take the final three candidates out to dinner and then come back to me. You go do this away from team facility. You go sit down
with
them.
That's fine. That's you want to do it that way? That's fine. Yeah. Wait, should Miles get something like that at least? Should you get a dinner? Because I'm all right with that.
Final three candidates, I don't hate it as much.
I like the idea of all three of them too. But the problem though is that if you take all three of them out, then Miles is like,
who's he going to take home?
No, but if Miles is like, this guy sucked, I hate this guy, you can't hire that guy then. Like, the problem with this is that if you bring Miles into this and then Miles staunchly is like, listen, the guy was rude to the waiters. He ordered his steak medium well, like just some really,
you think
really
Miles is going to care if he's rude from the
uncouth things. Then yeah, if he comes on out
he
of it,
he ordered egg tartare.
Like, I can't believe
what
it.
What kind of nerd?
There was so many good appetizers. I wanted the fried calamari, and he was like, "I think we've had enough appetizers already."
And then he said,
"Don't
Miles,
you, Miles?"
And they patted his belly like, well, "Thank you." Looking a little rotund
as if
there.
He's Santa Claus or something. Like, but if Miles comes out, it's like, I hated this guy, I can't stand him. Then you can't hire him. Like, that's the risk of that. If you bring him into this equation this way, you then can't go with the guy if he is staunchly against it.
Brian in Middleburg Heights, what you got for us, buddy?
Hey, I'm wondering, what do we have to do to get Jimmy to stop trying to run this team? Forgive me for asking. But
no, it doesn't exist.
There's nothing we can
get
do.
Get him to maybe buy an NHL team.
Like he needs to buy another sports team.
Get a petition going, like a petition that gets like national news, like embarrass him out of it.
I don't think that's going to work. I don't know if you had to know this, Brian. Billionaires are pretty untouchable.
Although, I don't know, poor shaming the Dolans did work.
I mean, well, you know, the federal government told him that he couldn't run his father's business anymore.
All right, that's a little personal.
And they made him sell it, and he wrote a check for $100 million to not go to a federal prison. Maybe we could get the government involved.
It's actually not a bad cause to stay away from prison.
Yeah.
If you're worth $12 billion, I'd pay $100 million.
I understand the point you're making. Also, I don't know. I don't know we need to go there. I just don't. Like,
no, we don't have to. It's just unnecessary.
At this point, like, I think it's fair to keep it above board when it comes to Jimmy Haslam as an owner. I don't even remember anything of the Pilot Flying J stuff anymore. And I think if we go to it, I think it should be a little bit beneath us. Yeah, is it part of the conversation when nobody's on air? Sure, you can have that. On air, guys, he's a bad owner. He's had a really bad stretch here. Here's what we can do. Hope he stops being a bad owner. Stinks. That's your recourse.
And the problem with that is that it just seems like he's just more and more involved at this point. And anytime he's involved, it just doesn't end well for us. The best this thing ever went was when he just kind of stayed away for a couple years.
Maybe the Chicago Blackhawks could be up for sale. I'm
open to all of it.
Just buy a Columbus Blue Jackets. You already own a.
Sure.
Why not an NHL team?
Why not?
They can fire everybody down there and then, you know, run off Giannis of the Blue Jackets, whoever that is.
Hmm.
It's actually also Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's actually secretly.
I think they did, and they did just put someone with the Haslam Sports Group in charge of the Bucks today. That was an official move they did today.
Darn right.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting after it.
Hey, why not? Should Miles have a say in the new head coach hire, John Fanta? Old Jersey John, going to react to Kevin Stefanski getting fired, and what's the name for Fanta? Does he have one? That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.